Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
God, can we just take just another moment? Well, we don't want to pass this by. We don't want to rush through this. Let me ask if you just would join me in lifting your hands right where you're at. Come on, just let God do what He does. Father, would you come right here, right now? Would you fill your people with whatever they need, whatever their desire, whatever their prayer? Lord, would you just come right now? Would you just have your way? We love you. We honor you. We praise you. And God's people said, amen, amen. Can we give it up for our... These guys are good. I think we're going to keep them around just a little longer. It's always good to do worship with our family. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning to you all here in the sanctuary, in the cafe, and those watching online. We are continuing our series here at our church, our Pursue series. How many are enjoying our Pursue? Yeah, you guys been pursuing. We've been pursuing. We're on week 5, and today I want to talk to you about pursuing what is lost. Pursuing what is lost. Speaking of pursuing, I want to get a quick shout to my beautiful wife, my amazing wife. Next week, a week from today, we'll be celebrating 23 years of happily marriage. 23 years ago, we said, I do, and we did. We created an amazing family. I have two amazing sons, James and Albert, and the most beautiful little girl in the world, Alina Faith Castaneda. And God's been good to us. At the end of this year, I will have gained two daughters-in-law, too. So, yeah, our family's growing. And I just want to declare by spring of next year, we'll have some grandkids. Plural, grandkids. No, my wife and I, our story is this. We met when we were 15 years old. And right there on the streets of Story and White, if you're familiar, there's good that comes from the east side. And Story and White, we met, we fell in love, we were young and dumb, and here we are. We're still doing our thing, and thank God. That's just the power of God in our life. Amen. We have a tag, real quick. We have a tag for our series. It's called, You Get What You Go For, and let me tell you, she got what she went for. You talk about pursue. That is a true principle. I'm lucky I have the mic. I have the mic today, so... You have to get it back. Let's look at our foundational scripture for the series. Foundational scriptures, Philippians 3:12. This is the great apostle Paul. He says this. He says, "Not that already I have obtained it." Let me just say this real quick. The apostle Paul is indicating that something is missing. He says, I don't have it. He says, maybe something I don't have. Maybe perhaps something is lost. He says, I don't obtain it. And he says this. He says, or have I been perfected? He said, but I am pursuing, going after what I'm missing. I'm going after what is lost. He says, I am pursuing as if I lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Question for you this morning. Have you ever lost something valuable? You ever lost something that you cherish, something that you possess, something that belongs to you and only to you, something that when you've lost it, that feeling inside of maybe anxiety starts to build up, or maybe we get scared, or even anger starts to come. Something, maybe you've lost your keys, maybe you've misplaced your wallet, maybe even your kids at the mall from time to time. They were just there and they ran off. But that feeling of like, I lost this, I may not recover this, that feeling of hopelessness and abandonment and maybe even anger with the things we lost. I read a story this week about a lady named Colleen Dykeman who accidentally threw out her wedding ring one night when she was cooking dinner. And she didn't realize that it was missing until the next morning. But by the time she realized that the garbage truck had already come by and taken her trash, and she immediately ran out of the house and chased down the garbage truck and its driver. The driver pulls over, and him and Colleen began to dig through the trash. They dug through 6 tons of garbage, digging and searching. It's a true story. 6 tons of garbage. They pull over on the side of the road. They're pulling all this trash and they're going through these bags. And at that moment, Colleen says this. She said, I thought I would never see my ring again. My valuable, my precious ring, my ring that means so much to me. She said, I it's gone forever. But in that same thought, in that same reaction, she tells herself, I can't stop looking for this ring. It's too valuable. It's too priceless. It's too precious. And she continued on to search for the ring 4.5 hours later of just digging through the garbage and the stink and the stealth. She finds her ring. Her ring was found. Let me say this to you this morning. Whatever you've lost, it can be found. Whatever you've once had, whatever you possess that you no longer have with you today, at this moment, right now, maybe you've had a dream to do something great. Maybe you've had a gifting that has just been put on the shelf, or something that you are no longer using. You think that you've lost it. Maybe there's a passion to serve the Lord, or passion to rekindle. And whatever you're doing, you just can't seem to rekindle it. I want to tell you this, that whatever is lost, it can be found. You can pursue the things of God that He has for you. You can pursue them. That wedding ring was priceless. That wedding ring was valuable, and it just was more than just a dollar value. It was more than the wedding ring was a symbol of their union. This wedding ring had emotional value and sentimental value. And because of that value, because of the importance of that, she began to pursue and not give up. I know this for a fact, that everyone in this room has things that are of value. I know that you have things in your life that if you were to lose or lose, that there would be something inside of you that would go and look and find and search, and you won't give up. I'd like to talk to you this morning about pursuing your lost loved ones. Lost loved ones, meaning that they are away from the Lord. Lost loved ones, meaning they're not walking with God. Maybe they're distant. Maybe they don't know the Lord. Maybe they're not living that life of the Lord. And I'd love to talk to you about your role in pursuing your lost loved ones. There's a story in the book of Genesis about a man who pursues his lost loved ones. Before we get into our text, let me just set this story up. Abram and Lot, they were so wealthy that their livestock and their herdsmen began to quarrel with each other because they didn't have enough room to to live. And so Abraham, the uncle of Lot, says to his nephew, he says, hey, I don't want to fight with you. I want you to go and choose a land that you can occupy. If you want the left, I'll go right. If you want the right, I'll go left. He says, but we just have to work this way out. So the Bible says this, that Lot begins to look around at the land, and he sees this land right over here, right next to this town called Sodom. And y'all know what happens in Sodom. It's a city of sin. It's like the Las Vegas of our time. And Lot says to his uncle, he says, I'm going to pitch my tent right here. I'm not going to really cross the border of Sodom. I'm not going to go in, but I'm just going to go right up to the edge of that town. In those days, it was very common for kings to unite and to go conquer and pillage cities. And Sodom was raided, and its surroundings, including Lot and his fortune, were captured. And here's the story in chapter 14, verse 14. It says, when Abram heard that his nephew Lot had been captured, he mobilized the 318 trained men who had been born into his household. Then he pursued Chedorlaomer's army until he caught up with them at Dan. There he divided his men and attacked during the night. Chedorlaomer's army fled, but Abraham chased them as far as north of Damascus. Abraham recovered all the goods. Abraham recovered all the goods that had been taken, and he brought back his nephew Lot with his possession, all of the women and other captives. What an amazing story. What an amazing story of an uncle that cared enough for his nephew, brave enough to say, I'm going to go and pursue my nephew. Even though he chose to live on that side, even though he's a grown man, even though this, he said, I am going to go and pursue my nephew. Can I tell you this morning? We all have a role in God's redemption plan for our loved ones. Amen. We have a role in God's redemption plan for our loved ones. I'm going to share with you what our role is. But first, if you are in a small group watching this video, now is the time to take your pursue guide and follow it together. I hope you enjoy the rest of your discussion. Our role in pursuing the lost, your lost loved ones, is this. Number one, we pursue the lost in prayer. Before Abraham went into battle to go rescue his nephew, he mobilized his men. He strategized, and he got the plan before he left to go attack. And let me say this. He had to have sought God. See, the battle was too big for Abram. He wasn't supposed to win. He had 318 men, and he was headed towards an army. And he had to have sought God for the plan and for the favor and for everything else that it would take to get to his goal and his destiny. Can I say this, that when we are faced up against opposition that is too much for us, where it doesn't make sense if we have enough finances, or it doesn't make sense if we have the right strength or the power or the knowledge, and maybe you're not gifted enough to do the things that you're supposed to do, we seek the Lord in prayer, and then all of a sudden we have the favor, we have the plan, and we have the will to do what we want to do. In prayer, prayer changes things. Abram was in communication with God, and we can be in communication with God. I remember as a young Christian, I would go to my pastor and I would say, Pastor, I'm praying for this. I'm praying for this. I said, I'm not getting an answer. I'm not getting a breakthrough. And he said this, he said, Albert, keep on praying. He said, your prayers go up into heaven like in a bowl. And he says, and every time you say a prayer, it just deposits inside this bowl. And he says, as sooner or later, that bowl is going to overflow. When my son was in high school, he was a freshman in high school, he started dating this young lady that we didn't approve of. And this young lady, not from our church or our circle, he met her at school, and he was consumed with him. If you have a high schooler that has gone into a relationship, you know what I'm talking about. And he was consumed with this girl, and this girl was just a little different. She was of the genre we call emo, short for emotional, where her emotions began to dictate her life and to control her life. And this, she wore black gloves and black lipstick and black hair and black everything. And if you're wearing black, that's okay. This isn't about you. This is about the girl that was influencing my son. And he started to change, and he started to rebel, and he started to talk back. And he was getting in trouble with schools as teachers and principals. And they were this cycle, this pattern was going. And I remember I took him to breakfast one morning, and I said, James, we are not going to be dating this girl. And he says, well, you're not, I am. And I said, no, James, like, we don't date. You're too young. You're too young to date. And he says, well, you were 15 when you dated mom. And I said, okay. Well, we weren't Christians when we dated. We weren't saved. He says, well, she's not saved either. So I said, go ahead and date. No, I didn't say that. He said, it got so bad, he said the worst thing that you could say in our house. He said this. I said to him, James, we were fighting, and he said, Dad, I don't even want to go to church anymore. I said, I'm about to smack the brown off you, kid. No, I didn't say that. Maybe I did. No. Those were like the worst things that you can say in our house. The absolute worst. He said, I don't even want to go to church anymore. And I said, James, that is not an option in our house. And he turned around and he walked out the front door. See, I knew then that Ephesians 6:12 is true, where it says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers, the authority, the evil forces in this heavenly realm. I knew that this battle was now going to become a battle of prayer. And let me tell you, we started praying. We called some family, and we said, we need you to join us in pursuit. My son is getting lost. Our son is confused. Our son is distracted. Would you join us in pursuing? We called the intercessors, and we began to pray and fast for our son. And let me just be honest with you for a minute. I hope this young girl's not watching, but my prayer was that God would remove her from this earth. Yeah. I said, God, like, you know, we're good. You know, we're friends. I said, you just do me this one thing, God. Like, just, let's just get her out of the equation. Let's just remove her, God. Like, she's distracting us and she's interfering with us. And my wife's a little more crazier than me. She begins to pray for this young girl's salvation. She begins to believe God, that God can touch this young lady and change her and transform her. And I kid you not, 3 months later, this young girl has the nerve to walk into my youth meeting and sit in the fourth row to my right. And I was like, ooh, God's gonna get you right here, right now. I was like, God, like, if you won't tell, I won't tell. Let's just do it, little witnesses as possible. I'm not trying to catch a case. I remember she sat there, and I remember watching her eyes as we were sharing about the love of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. And I remember seeing just this dark, lonely, scared little girl. All of a sudden, her eyes began to open and the word of God just began to pierce. And it does what it said it will do. And it will pierce the hardened heart and it will transform the untransformable. And it would love the unlovable. And she began to like open up. And when we gave the altar call, she came up, she responded. And right here, and right in this room here, right to my left, the NPR, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. And her life began to transform. She went from being this dark, lonely girl that was black and everywhere, like just goth. And she went from that to living a life of joy and hope and God's promise. She bought the most brightest Bible you could ever think of. It had jewels and colors on it. And it just represented the change in her life. And get this, my son sees this change. He sees this transformation in this girl. And he says, wow, there must be a God. God must be real. He rededicates his life to Jesus. And for a bonus, he picks up this guitar and he about teaches himself. We don't have family that plays music in our family. And he picks up this guitar and all of a sudden this anointing comes on him. And he's been serving, he's been playing, he's been worshiping God ever since. Come on. That bowl is about to overflow. If you've been praying for somebody, don't stop. Keep praying that when that bowl overflows, it's going to be a blessing beyond your wildest dreams. Let me tell you about this girl. First generation Christian. Parents aren't saved. Her grandparents, no one's saved in her family. She gets saved in our youth group. She gets on fire for Jesus. She joins our leadership. She graduates through our ministry, high school ministry. Smartest, one of the smartest young girls that I've ever met. She could have gone to any college probably in all of the country. She chooses Azusa Pacific University. She chooses a Christian college where she graduated from. And today, she's in that same school getting her master's degree. Also, she's part of a church plant. She's helping a church get off the ground, and she's impacting her community. Come on, somebody. God will answer the prayer. We win the battle. We win the battle for our lost loved ones in prayer. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying for your loved ones. You will see God respond. Number two, here's our second role in pursuing the lost. We pursue relationships with the lost. We pursue relationship with the lost. Let me just say, it was Lot's decision to go pitch this tent over here by Sodom. It was his decision. If I'm Abram, I'm thinking, man, that's your battle, dude. That's your bad. You're the one that went and wanted to play right on the border of sin. You're the one that wanted to engage in that community. You're the one that wanted to go hang out with those people. That's your bad. But let me tell you this. Abram had a relationship with Lot. He loved his nephew, Lot. And that love caused him to risk everything, to drop everything, to go and pursue his nephew. Who do you love so much that will cause you to respond, that will cause you to risk your life and the life of others? Who do you love? Jesus loved the sinners. Jesus Christ engaged himself with demon-possessed prostitutes. He loved in talking with the women that were caught in adultery. He loved the men that were deformed and sickened with disease and that were possessed by demons. He pursued relationship with them. He loved them. He did whatever it came. The Bible says that he came to seek and save the lost. He hung out with them. He didn't compromise his values or belief, but I tell you, he made an effort to go seek relationship with those people. And Luke chapter 5, he says this, Levi has a banquet in his home and Jesus is the guest of honor. Our precious Jesus, our little lamb, white lamb with the baby in the manger, he's hanging around this house where it's filled with tax collectors and prostitutes and money's exchanged, and there he is pursuing relationship with the lost. Pursuing relationship with the lost. I think my prayer for me is that I be brave enough to step out of my comfort, out of my Christian circle, and that I would go and see people for who they are. I would see how God loves them, and I would love like Jesus loved, and I would go and pursue them at whatever cost. I remember when I came to this church. About 13 years ago, my family and I came to this church, and we were a little broken. We were a little lost, if you would. Maybe not in our relationship with God, but we were lost maybe in purpose. See, we left a church that we were a part of for over 12 years, and in that church we were pastors and we were respected, and we had this thriving youth ministry, and we loved those kids, and we did life, and then we felt the Lord calling us here, and we didn't understand how or why, and we began to pray and fast for about a year and ask God, God, we need your confirmation, and the Lord brought us here. And I know that may sound a little mystical, but I know there's people in this room that know what I'm talking about. You know when you're drawn, you know when you're called, you know when there's a time to move. And we came in this room right here, and we sat in that back row, and we knew absolutely nobody. And it was hard. Can you agree that transition is hard? That change is hard? And sometimes in transition, that's when we're most vulnerable. You know, that's where sometimes the enemy loves to just sit and wait till we get to that place of change. We can play the game and we can score on the field and we can be a part of a team and a part of something good, and that's fine. The enemy would love to let you do that. But the minute you say, you know what, I'm just going to sit down and take a break. I'm just tired. I'm going to sit on the bench. So I'm changing teams, changing positions, take a sabbatical. I'm just going to take a break. Can I tell you that this is where the enemy would love to meet you, right here on the bench, in transition, in change. This is where we're most vulnerable. If you're here this morning and you're in transition, you're facing change, I want to just encourage you to get back in the game. Come on, get back in the game. There's room for you in this church. There's room for you to grow. There's opportunity for you to connect. There is a place for you to just start running and start enjoying life. Don't stay on that bench. And that's where our family was. We were just hurting and broken and confused. And then there was this family, the Velasquez family. And if you know who they are, you know how wild and crazy they are. They were crazy enough to pursue us. Even though we said, no, thank you, we're good, they pursued us. All 17 of them. They pursued relationship with us. I remember Galacio would call me and he'd be like, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm busy. I'll call you back. He said, good, open the door. We're outside. For real. He would just show up and his family would come. And listen, this is what they did. They just said, can we remind you that you guys are called? Can we remind you that Gateway is a good place to unpack for a little while? Can we remind you that God's got a plan for your life? Can we remind you that there's a purpose for you? And I tell you that one thing, we wanted to run. We wanted to run so we wanted to even run as far as Modesto. And we had plans to go. We had plans to move. And because that family, we stayed here. We were here today because of that family. They became our best friends. They pursued us. Let me just encourage you, if you are pursuing somebody and they're not letting you in, keep going. Keep going. And if you're being pursued by some crazy family, whether they're 15 Mexicans knocking on your door, let them in. Let them in. They may eat everything in your fridge and jump off the wall. Just let them in. Your life may change for the better. We got to pursue relationship. I believe this. I believe that God has placed you where you are at. I know you're qualified for your job. I know you went to school for it. I know you bought the house and you chose the street. But I want to tell you that I believe that God has chose you to be in that place. And he's placed you there for a reason. And my heart and prayer is that you would pursue relationships and love like Jesus loved. Amen. Number three, our third role is this. We have to commit. We have to commit to the pursuit. Abram had a long journey. He had a long, long journey. Over 100 miles he traveled. And I'm sure he thought, this is just too much. This is not my battle. This is not my thing. I'm sure he said, man, I was so comfortable at home. I'm sure he started to think, what if I just stop the pursuit? What if I just let someone else go rescue him? What if Lot deserves it? What if Lot made the mistake? And what? Maybe that's Lot's battle, and maybe he needs to do that. But Abraham committed to the pursuit. I tell you this, that God will give you strength. He'll give you stamina, and he'll give you favor if you commit to pursuing your loved ones. We have to commit. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the right time, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Don't give up. Commit to the journey. When we started out in ministry, we were about 21 years old, part of this church, and they needed a youth. They needed youth pastors, and we said, okay. We're not even sure if we like youth, but okay. Wasn't our call. We didn't go to school for it. In fact, we knew absolutely nothing about youth. And there we would meet on Thursday night, about 8-10 kids on a good day. We didn't know what we were doing, how to do it. So we thought this. We thought, well, we just buy pizza every week and have good talks every week. Maybe we'll just, a revival will break out. Didn't happen. So we bought donuts. Donuts at 8 o'clock p.m. or that were made 8 o'clock a.m. It didn't work. So we went back to pizza. And we were so careful. We just wanted people to love us. We just wanted these kids to like us. We didn't know what to do. And it was so difficult. It was challenging. And to make it worse, there was this young man. There was this young man. He was like the big kid on campus. And he was like this kid named Moses. We called him Monzi. And Monzi was sitting in the back of the room and with a hoodie over his head and his arms crossed, just making fun of everybody and everything, including me and everything that we did. And every week he'd come in, he would intimidate us and intimidate the kids, and I knew this kid's lifestyle wasn't living right. He was the son of one of our pastors, and he would just disrupt, and I began to see how distant he was away from Christ. The things he was involved in, the stuff that I began to see how lost he was, and one week I just felt this impression to pursue him. And I began that week in preparation for that Thursday night's meeting. I began to seek the Lord for a word or message. And with him on my mind, I began to pray. And with him on my mind, we fasted. And we stood up there on Thursday night and we said, guys, we're not going to do pizza tonight. I just want to share my heart. And I remember I'm just sharing my heart about how God loves us and how God's grace is for us and that his mercy is greater than anything that we could ever experience. And we don't deserve his mercy. We don't deserve his love, but somehow, some way he loves us. And I shared in Romans 8 where it says that there's nothing that could separate us from the love of God. And I was talking right to him and I was pursuing him. And we gave this altar call and he stands and he comes forward and he says two words for me. He says, I'm ready. And this kid that I didn't really like, I wanted him out of the youth group. He commits his life to Christ and his life changes forever because he was pursued. Can I tell you this, that your lost loved ones are not too far off. They are not too lost. They are not too addicted. They are not too lonely. They are not too suicidal. They are not too far off. If we commit to the journey, God will show himself real. He will. We got to commit. I know it's hard. I know you're looking at what you're looking at. They may be in jail. They may be incarcerated. They may be whatever they are. But they're not too far off. Someone's got to do it. Why not you? Stay committed. Stay committed. So Monzi gets saved. His life changes. He starts reading the Bible and believing the pages on the Bible that tell him that he's got a call and a destiny and a purpose. And he gets what we call on fire for God. And he went from this one like troubled kid, this one, you know, intimidating kid. So now he's like walking with God. And I remember he's called me up and say, like, Pastor Albert, what do I do next? What do I do next? I said, keep going. What do I read next? Just keep reading. Can I come over? Can we have Bible study? Can we just barbecue? I said, yeah, come over. And then one night we're sitting in a movie theater and we get a call. We get a call from somebody that says that Monzi was in a fatal car accident and he lost his life. We left immediately. We drove to Modesto where he lives, his family lives, and we pull up to the curb and we're greeted by his mom. She comes running out of the house and she just puts her arms around me. She squeezes my neck and she whispers these words in me. In my ear, she says, please tell me that my son is in heaven. Please tell me, my son. She knows. Her son was lost. She knows that he was distant. She knows John 14:6, where Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody, absolutely nobody, comes to the Father except through him. She understood that. She believed it. And she said, please tell me. And I said, Anita, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. None. No doubt your son is in heaven. Can I pray for you this morning? Would you mind bowing your head and closing your eyes? I believe there may be some in here. Maybe you have a doubt. Maybe you're unsure of your relationship with God. Maybe in a sense, somebody prayed for you, and maybe I've been here to pursue you. Maybe you're not lost. Maybe you're just distant. Maybe there's confusion. Maybe I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you just the way you are. I'm here to tell you that he came for you to seek you. He died for you, and he rose from the grave for you. He rose from the grave so that you too would rise from your situation, from your state of depression, your confusion, your hurt, your pain. He rose for that so you too would rise. Jesus promises this. His promise is to give you a life, an abundant life. That's his promise. But it starts with a relationship. It starts with a relationship. If you're here this morning and you say, I'm not sure about my relationship. I'm not sure. I feel lost. I feel distant. I feel confused. I feel something. I don't know. And you want me to pray for your relationship with Jesus Christ and invite him in. I just want you to lift your hand right here, right now. Amen. Amen. Just lift it high. Come on, be bold, be brave. Come on, he came for you. He came for you in this moment, your life could change and change for the better. Anyone else say, just pastor, pray for me. I feel distant. I'm not sure. Amen. Amen. Hands all over this place. Amen. Father, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that you respond by a gesture that we have, by lifting our hands, that you would come and fulfill our heart. You would fulfill our pain. You'd fulfill our destiny. You'd fulfill our purpose just by receiving you. And we pray that prayer this morning, God. Father, I pray for those that responded by lifting their hand, that you'd meet them. You walk with them. You'd coach them. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we pray this prayer up on the screen? Let's pray together. Say, Father God, thank you for allowing me to partner with you in seeing your lost children saved and redeemed. I come into agreement today that you've given me a role and the purpose for our family. Just keep going. Just keep going. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you raised your hand, there were so many hands in this room. I just want to say that I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. There's no shame in lifting your hands and having a relationship with God. There's no shame in family. There's no shame. We want you to do this. Do us a favor. Take out a card. It's a white card. It's in a seat pocket near you. Fill out the card. Let us know that you made a decision today. We'd love to follow up with you. We'd love to talk with you about it and encourage your journey in Christ. Once you fill out that card, the offering's going to come. You can drop that in the offering basket. And then after that, we're going to worship and dismiss with a song.
Let's all stand together again. I'm going to sing, Spirit of God, fall afresh in this place. Thank you, God.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will. Be done here as in heaven.
We're so glad that you were able to be with us this morning. Before you leave, we'd like you to know that there is a team up here, an altar team, a prayer team. We'd love to pray with you and connect with you. If you have a need of any kind, please come on up. We'd love to pray with you. Can I just pray a blessing over you? Father, thank you for your people. Lord, I pray we would leave here encouraged and covered and loved by you. Lord, I thank you for doing something special in this church, in this house. Thank you for raising up men and women that would pursue you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be blessed. Prayer team is up here. Thank you.